Last week in Huntersville, a man arrived from North Korea, having escaped from that oppressive and impoverished country. He was being helped around by a man here in Huntersville who was going to be his helper in adjusting to this new country. So one of the things they did is he took him to the Harris Teeter, and he was just stunned at the amazing abundance of what was available at the Harris Teeter. As he left, he commented to his new friend. He said, "I was really especially impressed by all the instant powdered products that you have. I saw powdered milk, and you just add water and you got milk. You have powdered orange juice, and you add water and you have orange juice. And then I saw baby powder, and I thought, wow, what a country is this." You do get what you pay for up here. I thought that was a risk on a day when you're sleep deprived, but I thought I'd run it up flagpole anyway. You see, so often that's how we are as Christians. What it means to be a Christian. We get sprinkled with a little water at a time in our life we probably don't even know about it. We join a church. We show up and worship when our schedule permits. We toss up a few prayers, especially to help out me and mine. We go to communion. We say, "I'm a Christian." Well, the truth is, that's how we begin as Christians. But we stay there. We are baby Christians. Always in our infancy. But if we want to grow and to be in all the fullness, to live the Christian life that Jesus wants for us, then we need to do and be more. You know that. That's why your deep desire that runs through all of your requests for our series of Extreme Makeover, or for those who don't want Extreme Made to Order Makeover, that deep desire runs through all of these to live the more abundant life that Jesus offers us by going deeper with Him. And today, we focus on one of those deep desires to grow, which is your desire, as you expressed it this way: "I want to serve others with the talents God has given me. I want to love others in serving." Well, God shows us this morning how this can happen by laying out for us the job description of a servant, which He reveals is how it is we grow up. God does this morning through two scriptures written by two men who are at the very end of their lives. And because they're reaching their last days, they are urgent in their calling on us to grow as Christians and not to stay as babies. The first letter is written by Paul to the Christians at Ephesus. He writes them to stand firm against the countercultural influences of the people around them. And the second letter is written by Peter, his first letter, we call it, the first letter of Peter. And he writes this to encourage the Christians then and Christians now to choose the ways of Jesus for their lives and not to choose the other influences that are tempting to entice them away to destruction and death. Both letters lay out for us how it is we can grow up and how we can begin to live the full life that Jesus offers us by accepting His offer to go into business with Him. Here's how it goes. "I urge you," Paul says, "to lead a life worthy of the calling that you have received. For by the grace of Christ, He has given each of us our own gifts. Be completely humble and kind and patient and bearing with each other in love, making every effort to keep the bond of peace. Jesus Himself gave the gift for some to be apostles, some prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, to equip His people to be servants, so that..." Now, whenever you see those words "so that" or the word "then" in these letters, your antenna needs to go up, because he's about to say, here's what I'm really talking about here. "So that the body of Christ may be built up until all people reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the full stature of Christ, fully developed within and without, fully alive like Christ," the message says. "Then we will no longer be infants." Then, when we do that, we will no longer be infants. tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming. We want no prolonged infancies among us, please. There are babes in the woods, small children, an easy mark for the impostors. God wants us to grow up, to know the whole truth and tell it in love, like Christ in everything. We take our lead from Christ, who is the source of everything we do. He keeps us in step with each other. His very breath and blood flow through us, nourishing us so that we will grow up healthy in God, robust in love. And then we turn to Peter, and before we read this from Peter, just before this in the previous chapter, he says, "Now you folks sitting out here at Meadowlake, you are the chosen people of God, and each one of you is a priest, a holy priest, part of a priesthood of all believers." And then he says, "As priests, use whatever gifts you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength that God provides, so that in all things we give glory to God through Jesus Christ." Don't miss this, friends. Jesus Christ Himself has given you gifts to be a servant. Now He opens our eyes to see what it means to be a servant, to show us how to use His gifts and what the impact will be when we choose to be His servants, laying out the qualities of how we live when we serve. He does this today by asking and answering, guess how many questions?
Three.
Exactly. And the first question is this: why should we accept Jesus' calling to be a servant? The answer is, because if we do, our children, the lives that we touch, will become, he says, fully alive, like Jesus, healthy in God, robust in love, free from the lies that lure us to every other type of life. Now, I got to confess to you, when I got this letter from Jesus offering me to come in business with Him and take on this new job of servant, I wasn't sure I wanted to accept it. Because, you see, Jesus calls us to be servant, and if you look behind the scenes, what you find out, that word literally means slave. Jesus is calling me to be a slave to my sisters and brothers. And did you notice what the employee manual says about our challenging job requirements? Be completely humble, he says. Kind, patient, bearing together in love, and making peace. Yet, you see, living out this new job, calling us to be servants, is the only way, God says, to grow up, to be mature, to be filled with the knowledge of Jesus Christ, to be fully alive, alive in Christ, healthy in God, robust in love. That is the way that we grow up, friends. Otherwise, we are babes in the woods, subject to being tossed about by all the deceitful schemes around us to lure us into another way of life. The reason for this is that being a servant is in our DNA. When I leave here, you will never remember anything that I say. Usually you don't remember anything I say by the time you hit the back of the row on those Sunday mornings, unless I force you to take a takeaway. But I do want you to remember this. What do I want you to remember? What is it? Who you are? Who are you? You are precious children of God. What that means is that you are created in the likeness of God. His DNA is in your body, is in your life. And so we look and we say, well, I wonder what God's DNA looks like. And how do we know what God's DNA looks like? We look at Jesus Christ, who is God in the flesh, who came for that very purpose to say, friend, you want to know what God looks like? Your Father, His DNA lives in you? And you look at Jesus. And Jesus turned to His disciples in all the first three of the Gospels and says, I have come to be a servant, not to be served, but to serve. Paul says to be a slave to all. And Jesus turns to us as disciples and says, you want to follow me? Then you must be a servant like me. And what kind of servant was Jesus? Humble, kind, patient, loving, making peace with us and God, and bringing peace between each other. See, when we make the commitment to be a servant of all, we're living out the DNA that has been given to us by God with the gifts that Jesus gives us to fulfill that human potential placed in each one of us on the day that we were created. Living life it was meant to be, instead of the life that someone else tells you you should live. So, my friends, if there's any way that we are not serving others like Jesus, not living a life worthy of the calling, Paul says this, here's what's going to happen. We're like infants, babies, tossed back and forth, blown here and there, helpless, an easy mark, he says, against the imposters. So as I worked on this message, I said, I wonder what the world looks like. Who's winning, the babies or the adults? So I just laid out this list. Paul says that the world will deceive us and we must stand firm. So let's see how it's going. God says, serve others for His glory. The world says, serve yourself for your glory. God says, be humble. The world says, have pride. Be arrogant. You know it all. Your way or the highway. That keeps you on top of all the weaklings. God says, be patient. The world says, be impatient. Who has time for these fools always messing up? God says, love. The world says, it's everybody for himself. I don't have the time, the energy, or the desire to care about you. God says, make peace. The world, it says, hang on to your anger. Get revenge. Hold a grudge. Be bitter. That's the way you win. Your way. So how does it look to you? Well, I did my scorecard. You may differ. I think right now it looks like infants 5, adults 0. My friends, we live in a world of childlike men and women who, because they do not serve Jesus, they're serving another master. But you and I can overcome this opposition. We can do it by growing up, by serving Jesus, by accepting His call to be His servants, showing our children which way we choose. And if we do, then not only we will grow up, but all the people that we cherish. The real question is, do you want to protect your children, the people you love, from the lies of our world that says, live this way, Jesus is an impractical fool? Do you want to protect them so that they will live alive, fully alive, alive in Christ, healthy in God, robust in love? Well, some of you may be thinking, well, yeah, maybe that will help with some people, but there are some people who are impossible to serve and to help them grow up. Well, I want to share with you a story that says to us, no circumstance, no person needs to stay a baby. All can grow up if we grow up and serve them in love. This has been proven scientifically, actually, in Baltimore. Many years ago, a sociology professor at a university in Baltimore had his graduate students go out into the roughest neighborhood in that community. They identified 200 young boys. They did a case evaluation of these 200 young boys. And the graduate students came back and wrote out what they thought was going to happen to these students. Every one of them says he doesn't have a chance. He's going to drop out. He'll probably end up in prison. Well, 25 years later, the successor to this professor got the study and decided to follow up. Amazingly, they were able to find 183 of these boys, now men, and out of these 183, 171 had successful lives. They were lawyers, bankers, business people, doctors, nurses, teachers, coaches, and almost all of them, not all, but almost all, were leaders in their church. The professor was stunned. And so he himself met with these 171 boys, now men. And he asked them, how did you achieve this life despite all the obstacles in your way? And every one of these 171 young men said the same thing. There was a teacher. And the teacher's name was the same. So he went and interviewed this teacher, now retired. And he asked her, what was your magic formula? And she smiled with this light shining through her eyes and life in her voice. And she answered, I loved these boys. I told them every day how special they were. And then the professor reports this way. Her eyes twinkled and she added, well, and I guess the school could have fired me. But I prayed with these boys. I told them about Jesus. I told them how Jesus loved them. And every Friday I slipped them a verse from the Bible. Like I said, she says, they could have fired me. And every night, I prayed for my boys, she calls them, by name. You see, this lady was not just a teacher, if there's any such thing as that. She was a servant of God. And she took seriously what Peter said, which was, when you speak, speak with the word of God. When you serve, serve with the strength of God. These boys, despite all the obstacles, grew up to be men, fully alive. Fully alive in Christ. Robust in love. Because this woman was a servant. Our question is, do you want to have this impact on the lives around you? Do you want to live a life worthy of this calling? Then I want you to begin each day with this question. How can I be a servant of Christ on this day? How can I give glory to God by what I do today? Relying on His Word, relying on His strength, and letting Him do the rest. Which leads you to this inevitable question. A second question, which I hear from you a good bit. Well, what are my gifts that I can use to serve? Honestly, friends, I think we overthink this one. I used to think we had these spiritual gifts and we had to do spiritual gifts assessments and do all this analysis. You know, I've decided as I get older, maybe stupider, I think it's much more simple than that. Here are your gifts. The answer is use your abilities, the things you know how to do, and your experiences. You see, everything we have is a gift from God, including your ability, the things you know how to do. Whether you're an engineer for Gibbs Racing, that's what happens when you look down, Todd. Whether you are a farmer, whether you are a stay-at-home mom, whether you're a teacher, whether you're a singer, whether you're a business owner, whatever you do, those are your gifts with which you can serve God. And if you want to accept the job offer that Jesus offers us today to be His servant, you can begin right here. It's really simple. You don't have to go out there and apply for a job. We got them to do here. We have 8 ministries here, and you can use your gifts, your abilities in every one of those ministries. For you see, this is the body of Christ. If you want to serve Christ, this is where He is. The list of possibilities is long, and we're going to find out more as we offer a big impact in the world. But I want to offer you two possibilities. And I'm going to ask you to raise your hands because, you know, I know you're split the fries. I want to get you moving here this morning. I'm going to ask you four questions. How many of you in here know how to read? Raise your hand. All right, keep them up. All right, so how many of you in here like children? Anybody here not like Chris? Well, Chris does not like children. I didn't say teenagers, I said children. Y'all know that? Okay, we'll limit this under the age of 12. Okay, and so keep your hands up. How many of you can follow instructions? Yeah, a few, okay. All right, so here's the last question. How many of you who are parents, grandparents, aunt or uncle, have ever talked to your children? Raise your hand. Have you ever talked to your children? How many of you ever taught your children something? How many of you? Okay. All right, you're qualified. Every one of you is now qualified. Here's what you're qualified to do. You're qualified to teach the children of this church. That's your gift. You can read. You can follow instructions. You like children, and you know how to teach. Simple. So next Sunday, Christine and Patty are having a lunch for you to offer you this possibility of growing up these children to be alive in Christ, to be robust in love, to be healthy in God. And you can be that person that grows them up. Now here's what's going to happen. If you do that, you're going to grow up a lot more than they do. Anybody here a teacher? How many teachers agree with that? I mean, raise your hand if you agree with that. We got three people, five, six. You know, come on now. The point is, you will grow up more than they when you serve Jesus Christ by growing them up. But I want to offer you a second possibility. Terry is up here, and you remember she had that hat on. In East Huntersville, we have not been able to reach one child or one family of a child. They are unreachable. The youth have come out, the children stay behind closed doors. So what we're trying to do is find a way to entice them to come and meet us and to become a part of this ministry. And we'll do anything. We'll wear hats, we'll serve food, we'll go to them, because my friends, here's what's at stake. Part of what is at stake is teaching them to read. The biggest problem in that community in many ways is that children cannot read. They're not in here this morning, so I will say this, because I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. But our youth in East Huntersville, 9th grade, 10th grade, 11th grade, they cannot read. They're reading 3rd grade, 4th grade level, max. These children need to learn to read. You can serve them by inspiring them to want to read. But there's a bigger point. If we can ever get them through the door, then what we offer them is Jesus Christ. This is not the United Way over there in East Huntersville. This is not the Rotary Club. This is a ministry of a church, and we are unapologetic about that. And some of the ways that we have failed is not finding a way to bring Jesus Christ in the lives of these children. And you can be the one who grows them into that new relationship that they need so desperately. For I want to tell you how it works. We have been serving our youth as servants of Jesus Christ. We have 13 youth in our association in East Huntersville. And they are beginning to come to know Jesus through us. They're here in worship quite often. Transportation is a big problem. And I want to lift up three names for you that are here almost every Sunday. I hope you know them. Zena, Sakai, and Shajan. They are here almost every Sunday. And they're learning about Jesus Christ here. You know why? Because Brad and Brooke Jensen and Brad Seal are serving them, loving them. They have become part of their family. And because they have opened the door to love, they have opened the door to these three young people to Jesus Christ. That's why they're here. Almost every Sunday. And what it is that Brad and Brooke in particular offer, here are their gifts. They know how to hang out. They know how to have fun. They know how to welcome someone into their home. And they know how to bring a young person to a church to grow in their relationship with Christ. And Brooke and Brad have shared with me how their lives have changed, how they have grown up, how they've grown closer to Jesus Christ. And Brad, Brooke, and Emery, and their son, whose name just escaped me, Cole, have welcomed these young people in their lives together. Can you imagine the lesson that Cole and Emery are getting by their parents serving Jesus in that way? And I want to offer up a less obvious gift about an ability you have, and that is experience. Especially our experience when we are suffering and our lives are in trouble. Many of you have been through times of trouble. Many of you have had someone walk with you through the times of trouble, and it's been God's Word. Sally and I have experienced this. God's Word that you have shared with us, the prayers that you have showered us with. You have served us in these times of trouble, and now that experience is a gift from Jesus that we now have to serve. This is what happened to a couple, and I want to suggest that you think about this for yourself. So what happened to a couple is not a member of this church, but I know really well. And their marriage was really struggling. I shared with this a year and a half ago. And because of a pastor and a counselor, they made a 6-month commitment to change their marriage. And every day they shared the Word of God together. They prayed together. And they praised each other for something good they saw in each other. And after 6 weeks, their marriage was mending. After 3 months, their marriage was stronger than it had ever been. My friends, that is an experience that is a gift of God to give to others. So today, here's what they do. They lead with a counselor small groups for marriages that are struggling. They share the Word of God that saved their marriage. They share the prayers that they prayed with each other that saved their marriage. They share the way that they praised each other that saved their marriage. Their experience in times of trouble became a gift of God. And they are serving with that gift to bring others to Christ, more fully alive, alive in Christ, and in fact robust in love. So I encourage you, my friends, your gifts are what you know how to do, but your gift is some rough experience you have had in your life that can now be given the gift that you give to someone else. Which leads us to this third question, however, is when do we serve for Jesus? And the answer is now. The reason for that is we do not know the last chance we will have to grow up in our life with Jesus by serving others. We do not know the last chance we will have to reach out to someone to help them grow up, to be alive in Christ, fully alive, robust in love, healthy in God. My friends, you do not know what that last day will be. So the time to serve with love is now. I'm going to close today with how that truth came crashing home to Sally and me 2 days ago. You remember that last week I talked about David. David was a young man who decided to go deeper with Christ, and his whole life turned around. He went from depressed to full of joy because he went to the Congo and reached out to children with his abilities that God had given him. And his whole life changed. And as he said in his words, "Now my life is filled with Jesus. Now my life is filled with his love. Now my life is filled with his joy." On Friday morning at 7:42, Sally and I got an email. It's from his father, Paul. Paul said, "We took David to the hospital last night. He was in severe pain. We found out he was severely internally bleeding. The hospital had to give him 4 units of blood, before they could even begin the MRIs and decide what surgery needed to be done." Well, yesterday we got a follow-up email which said this: The surgery lasted 3 hours. The biopsy has been sent off, but they strongly believe David has colon cancer. We never saw this fastball coming. Keep praying. You see, when I got that email, I said, thanks be to God that David decided 3 years ago to become a servant of Christ. Because the presence of Jesus in his life, fully alive to God, healthy with God, is what would get him through this time of suffering and danger in his life. We never know, my friends, when that day will come, when it's too late to grow up. Someday, everyone in this room is going to get a fastball high and right in our chin that we never saw coming. It may be an illness. It may be your marriage. It may be somebody in your family. It may be your career. It may be your finances. I don't know what it will be. But you're going to get a fastball. The question is whether you're going to have to handle it on your own or with the strength and the wisdom and the power of Jesus. I hope that you will not wait until the fastball comes that you never saw coming to grow up, to move from being a baby Christian to an adult Christian, to be fully alive, alive in Christ, healthy in God, robust in love. And the way that can happen for you is to receive the calling, live a life worthy of the calling that Jesus offers you this day, to become his servant. I pray to God, when you get that offer today, you won't trash it. You'll open it up and say yes. Amen.